You're listening to Radio Boston. Nearly 5 years ago, June 13th, 2019, it's my third day hosting Radio Boston, and Lee McIntyre came on air to tell us that science was under attack. McIntyre had written The Scientific Attitude, Defending Science from Denial, Fraud, and Pseudoscience then. And then COVID hit. McIntyre is now a senior advisor for trust in science at the Aspen Institute, and we wanted to bring him back both to remind us what scientific thinking is and why it's even more important today. So Lee McIntyre, here with me in Studio 2. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It's great to have you back. And I want to go back to this core idea of what it means to be thinking like a scientist, because it every person who has heard that conversation, it kind of bent our brains in a way that was good, and we haven't gone back. So what does it really mean to do scientific thinking, Lee?
Yeah, in my earlier book, The Scientific Attitude, I tried to boil it down to a bumper sticker. The scientific attitude is the idea that you care about evidence so much that you're willing to change your mind in the face of new evidence. That's something that you don't find science deniers doing. It's something that sometimes scientists don't even do, but that's the best practice in science. It's what makes science so special.
And core to that is both constant evidence to prove a point, right? It's why we might call a scientific theory a theory, right? Both because you can prove it, you know, you can use evidence to demonstrate it over and over again, but also always being open to the possibility that there could someday be new evidence that would prove you wrong. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, that's why it's so unfair to criticize scientists for not being able to prove their hypotheses, because science is about being open to new evidence. And when the evidence changes, you need to change your mind. People don't often understand that, but it's something that I think that scientists know in their bones, and they need to say more in public.
Okay, so Lee, then we get this phrase, and listen, we're going to go all over the place here, but I want to start with this one. We get this phrase over the last couple years, follow the science. What does the science say? That both makes sense and seems tricky, given what you just said, especially in a rolling scientific situation like an unfolding pandemic with a new disease where we're learning as we go. So is that a loaded sentence then, given what you've just said about scientific thinking? Follow the science. What does the science say?
It's one of those slogans that can almost go for either side, if there are sides. Like do your own research. It depends on what the person means by it. Follow the science can mean changing your mind as the evidence changes. So for instance, when it looked like there were certain data which showed that masks were unnecessary, that's what the scientists said. When it later became clear that the masks were necessary, that's what they said. It's easy for somebody who doesn't understand how science works to say, the evidence didn't change, you're a liar. But that's not what was going on. I mean, the best scientific practice is when the evidence changes, you change your mind. And you know what? That's why it's important for scientists to lean into the importance of uncertainty. Because if you don't lead with that up front, if the scientist ever says, no, this is proven, we know this for certain, then if you have to change your mind later, looks like you were lying.
We're here with Lee McIntyre, who's a research fellow at the Center for Philosophy and History of Science at Boston University, talking about scientific thinking and sort of a conversation we had 5 years ago about science being under assault and what's changed. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that you don't think things have gotten better since we talked in 2019.
They have not. And in fact, the problem of science denial has really metastasized, strong word, but I think it's warranted, to reality denial. The same blueprint that the science deniers were following has now been followed in the political sphere to a denial of facts in general. So, and that has doubled back and made science denial worse, in fact, because now you see the politicization of even something like anti-vax.
Okay, so you sort of from 0 to 60 on that. I want to go from 0 to 30 and then 30 to 60 in speed there. So for the 0 to 30, I'm going to play you a little sound. This is Joe Rogan and Dr. John Abramson, who's a local family physician and lecturer at Harvard Medical School. This is December of 21 on Joe Rogan's podcast. Abramson had come on the show to deal with misinformation around vaccination.
The whole idea, the binary approach has been everyone needs to get vaccinated. They keep saying it over and over again, even in light of Omicron where it shows that it's a vaccine escape variant or the vaccines aren't effective with it, even though it's mild?
I don't think you can say that yet.
They have been saying it.
No, it looks like people who are boosted have significant protection against Omicron from severe illness.
But no one's getting severe illness from Omicron. There hasn't been a single death in the United States that's attributed to it.
We're early.
So what we hear there is, well, this is what I think. Well, this is what the data says. But this is what I'm telling you. But this is what we do and don't know. Right? That back and forth became a feature of a set of conversations around both information that we were advancing versus what we knew and didn't know in the data. What struck me about that, and listen, we're going to have people who are just going to be mad at us that we put Joe Rogan on the show, right? But I think it's a useful back and forth conversation about the speed of information that flows in one place, which is social media, you know, conversation, et cetera, and the speed of data and research, which flows at the pace of science. How do we deal with that in the world you're talking about, Lee McIntyre?
Well, I think there are two things going on here. One is that people need to understand how science works and be flexible enough to know that scientists can change their mind. But there's another factor here, which I really didn't write very much about and didn't appreciate when I was speaking to you 5 years ago. And that's the role of disinformation in creating science denial.
Which you've now written about.
Which I've now written about in my new book on disinformation. I think a lot of the denialism that we find in the science realm and the political realm is because there are people who have an interest at stake who want to share a falsehood and create an army of deniers who end up being victims. I mean, they end up being people who believe something that doesn't serve their interests. This is also why we see so much polarization, because disinformation is not meant to just share false information. It's meant to polarize you against trusting anybody who doesn't also believe that same falsehood. This is what happened with COVID. When I first started writing about this during the pandemic, writing about my book, How to Talk to a Science Denier, I didn't have a chapter on COVID. COVID was brand new. But I said to my editor, let's keep a chapter for science denial or for a COVID denial. And he said, there isn't any. And I said, wait. And it happened.
So National Institutes of Health, this is from November 10th, 2021. Politicization surrounding COVID-19 vaccines contributed to hesitancy, resistance, and opinion polarization. In June 2020, polls showed that about 34% of the U.S. would accept a COVID-19 vaccine, and large differences existed in opinions between Republicans and Democrats, to underscore what you're saying. All right, so now that was the 0 to 30, the Joe Rogan. Now the 30 to 60 is the what you implied was sort of a cynical political use here. I am going to play you a cut that I played for you when we talked in 2019. So this is Leslie Stahl speaking with then-President Donald Trump about climate change on CBS's 60 Minutes, October 2018.
I'm not denying climate change, but it could very well go back. You know, we're talking about over millions of years. They say that we had hurricanes that were far worse than what we just had with Michael.
Who says that? They say.
You mean people say. People say that in the...
Yeah, but what about the scientists who say it's worse than ever?
You'd have to show me the scientists, because they have a very big political agenda, Leslie.
I can't bring them in.
Scientists also have a political agenda.
When I played you that at the time, you pushed back hard on the concept that a scientist, a real scientist, could possibly have a political agenda. And I'm genuinely asking you now, has that changed? Your idea that it's that a serious, real scientist could not have a political agenda, has that changed in the last 5 years?
I think that as scientists are attacked, scientists are human beings. As scientists are attacked, of course they can have, feel upset and maybe even be polarized by some of the disinformation coming out. And in a way, that's might be the goal, right? That might be the goal of somebody like Trump. Look, the scientific attitude is the ethos that makes science special. To varying degrees, scientists follow it, just as sometimes scientists commit fraud. But it's not part of science, and it's something that's, that we correct along the way, and we push back against that.
So if that happens, that is not science.
That's right. I mean, science, look, it's impossible to be, completely objective, but it is important to have that as an ideal.
So I remember you told me a story about going to a flat earth convention and really, really actively participating with a quest for understanding. And you found somebody there who was willing to accept the challenge of possibly being proven wrong. And you would set up an experiment where you were going to try to fly around the world. And then at the last minute, the person backed out, sort of arguing, well, I could be tricked. Right. The air traffic controllers could be in on it and the airlines. And your point was essentially they could continuously create a scenario in their heads where something was fooling them. They could never really be proven wrong. That has always stayed with me, because today, in a time where videos can be faked, voices can be faked, that person could be a little more easily tricked than 5 years ago. How do we hold on to reality and keep our feet in the ground and openly participate in what you're asking us to, which is look at evidence, you know, embrace evidence and be willing to be wrong? Do you understand what
yes,
I'm asking?
Absolutely. I mean, the sad reality of human cognitive bias is that if you don't want to believe something, there's no amount of evidence that can convince you of that. And the beautiful thing about science is to have the flexibility of mind to say, even though I want to believe that X is true, the evidence is not backing that up, so I need to change my mind. I mean, there are tropes. I think I may have talked about this even 5 years ago. There are tropes of science denial. They cherry pick evidence that, you know, for confirmation bias that backs up what they want to believe. They're conspiracy theorists. Those are not good traits in reasoning. Those are things that scientists should eschew. Now, you asked about the rest of us. I think that the important thing for the thing that bothers me more than anything over the last few years is to watch the erosion of trust in science. It's not, I'm not asking everyone to be a scientist or to study science, but the thing that upsets me is the degree to which people are losing their faith in science, just as they're losing their faith in a lot of truth-telling institutions. And again, I think that that's not an accident. I think that that's something that has been created by the it was a feature, not a bug, of the people who were creating the disinformation. You understand, science is attacked every day through foreign intelligence services. There was a story, I don't remember if this story was out when we spoke last, but in 2019, there was a story in the New York Times called Putin's Long War Against American Science, which made clear that for the last 20 years, Putin has been attacking science because it's a way of undermining the United States.
All right. So now those who say, okay, Lee McIntyre, you've convinced me. So tell me how to encounter information and think like a scientist. Can you give people some steps?
Yes. The most important thing is to learn some science. I mean, to actually, you know, choose a topic. It's very hard to just learn science, you know, how scientists think without a topic. So I would say to people, you know, choose a debate that you're interested in, like climate change or like the vaccines, and really bore in, see what people are saying when they change their mind, why they change their mind. There are always instances in which scientists haven't reached consensus, and it's interesting to ask why that is. You know, what's the nature of the disagreement, and you know, if they were partisan, the disagreements would be unresolvable by evidence. But if they're honest, then evidence should be able to resolve it. That's the thing that I want everybody to understand about science. There are disputes, but they're resolvable through facts and data.
All right. Lee McIntyre, research fellow at Boston University, senior advisor for trust and science at the Aspen Institute. Your latest book is On Disinformation. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me back.